Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fantastic Friday and that you and your loved ones have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row Patrick Nix, who will be speaking along with Greg McElroy at Red Bank Baptist Church 2 weeks from tonight at the Church's A Night of Champions. Tickets can be purchased by going on redbankbaptist.org/events. $20 general admission, $50 VIP. Patrick Nix, of course, the former Auburn quarterback, the former Georgia Tech and Miami offensive coordinator, maybe best known now as the father of Bo Nix. Patrick, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. First, about this event in a couple of weeks, I know you, whether it was your time at Auburn or as an assistant coach in college, now the head coach at Pinson Valley, you've done your share of speeches. What is kind of different about these events when you're speaking to a church audience?
Well, you know, it's not a whole lot different. These events are a little bit more geared towards the high school student athletes and Greg and I get a chance, and we've done this several times, we get a chance to speak together and sort of share our stories of not only playing in the SEC, but also time after that and different things like that. So I think that it's great for us to be able to talk to the guys, the young kids that are coming up that are going to be going through some of the things that we've already sort of been through to share with them our experiences.
All right, Patrick, I've got to ask. I mean, I had graduated from Auburn before you got there, but, I mean, I was covering the 93 Iron Bowl when you came in and helped Auburn complete an 11-0 season. And, of course, the 94 game in Florida was an incredible game. You had some huge games during your time at Auburn, and you've been coaching Bo these last couple of years. How is the nervousness compared to playing quarterback or being the dad of a quarterback?
It'll be interesting. I really, to be honest with you, I've never really been the dad of a quarterback. I've been the coach of him all this time. So it's a little different being the coach when you're getting to call the plays and tell him what to do and things like that. Now sitting back and watching, it's going to be a little different. And so really can't tell you right now yet how it's going to be. I imagine it's not going to be real easy or fun at times, but then again, it is going to be nice to know that I can just sit back and enjoy and relax and watch and not have to worry about all the other things, but it'll definitely be different.
Do you know have you thought ahead? I mean, you've got Pinson Valley games on a Friday night. How do you plan to watch games at Jordan-Hare Stadium? Where do you plan to, like, seclude yourself, or will you be out there listening to comments that people might say? How do you plan to watch your son?
We'll go to Auburn. It'll be a little different because being a high school coach, we still got several kids on our team that Auburn's recruiting and things like that. So I'll go in different hats when I go to Auburn, whether I'm going as a dad or going as a letterman or going as a high school coach, coaching some players in there. So it'll be a little different when we go to games at Auburn. When we go on the road, obviously I'll just be sitting in the stands with parents and probably be wearing headphones so I can either listen to the game or listen to praise music or something like that, so I don't have to hear all the comments that are being said. I don't know. I'm having to learn a lot from my wife that's had to sit up there all these years. We got married my senior year of playing, so she's been through it as a wife of a player, a wife of a coach, a mom, everything. So I'm having to learn from her what it's going to be like to be sitting in the stands. So I'm going to have to take some cues from her, probably my mom who sat up there for so much, of exactly how I'm going to have to handle it moving forward.
And, of course, you know, you've coached him the last couple of years. He set all sorts of Alabama state career records, but you've been down the path of making that adjustment as an SEC quarterback. What do you see being the biggest challenge in today's game and, that Bo's going to have to make? I mean, obviously he got the benefit of going through that spring, but what do you see once the speed of the game, what's going to be his biggest challenge?
Well, I think, probably the biggest thing for any quarterback is just being in the SEC. It's just such a good conference. Defenses are so good that it's a little different than some other places in the country playing or high school, whatever it may be. You know, the speed of the game, the size, the schemes that you're seeing, you know, things like that are going to take an adjustment. But, you know, for him, the good thing is he's seen a whole lot. You know, he was able to, you know, he's played a lot of football games, you know, in high school. And, yes, it is different, but at least he's had a lot of experience of seeing some things. And he's not walking in there of not understanding the game of football. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together and adjusting to that speed and to the size and the things that, the SEC brings to the table, which is, you know, I think that says it all, just saying that you're playing quarterback in the SEC. It's a challenge. You know, and I think the other thing is, you know, that he and I have talked a lot about is the wear and tear on the body, getting hit, you know, every single Saturday by those guys is a little different than being getting hit in high school. So he's had to put on a little weight and strength and things like that when he got in there to be able to handle the wear and tear that is going to be on his body.
You're listening to former Auburn quarterback Patrick Nix, the coach at Pinson Valley High School, whose son Bo is now a freshman at Auburn competing for the quarterback job. Patrick will be speaking along with former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy 2 weeks from tonight at Red Bank Baptist Church's A Night of Champions. Right now you're listening to Patrick here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Patrick, you and I were at Auburn at the same time, and I was in Gainesville in 94, and I just want to say no question here, just thank you. And, yes, I almost got beat up multiple times leaving the stadium because I was that obnoxious. And I also want to thank you.
Sound like my brother.
I got to just assume that recruiting letters from Alabama and Georgia that came to the Nix house to your son, you just threw those away before they even got in the house, right?
It was hard to see the envelopes come in the house. There is no doubt about it. It was very difficult, you know. But we took trips. We took trips over to Athens. We took trips over to Tuscaloosa. And as the dad, you know, it was one of those you have to take him and show him everything because you want him to make the decision that's best for him, not best for our family or best for me or anything like that. And, deep down, you were sort of holding your breath thinking, God, I hope he doesn't like it a whole lot, you know. And so it was kind of a relief when you walked away and he's like, yeah, it was okay. And you're like, thank goodness. You know, it don't. You know, maybe I won't deal with it. You know, but quite honestly, it was ended up being sort of Ohio State that was the one that was very impressive and very close. And you know, it was going to be a real struggle to get up there and watch him play every Saturday. If that would have been the choice.
Now, when you get up there, you say you've spoken with Greg McElroy a couple of times. Are you going to like hide his notes? What are you going to do? Because I mean, the rivalry still persists.
Oh, the rivalry is definitely there. There's no doubt, and we take our shots as we're talking. There's no doubt, but there's a lot of respect. I don't think that people realize how much respect there is between the players. I think that the fan base is a little out of control and crazy with it. But the fans, the players have a lot of respect for each other. You know, a lot of us, like in 1995 when I was a starting quarterback at Auburn, Freddie Kitchens, was starting quarterback at Alabama. He was my backup in high school. Todrick Malone, a wide receiver for Alabama, played with me in high school. So, it's those kind of things. When you're playing against each other, it's guys that you've played against, played with, you got such respect for because you know how hard they're working. They know how hard you're working. Yes, you're wanting to beat them bad, but it's also there's a lot of respect between the players. Now, not always respect for the fans that act as crazy as they do and say some of the things they say that have never stepped on the field, don't have a clue what it's like. But a lot of respect for players. And so Greg and I have a lot of respect for each other. And so we have fun with it, but at the same time, he can respect where I'm coming from and I can respect where he's coming from, although we're on opposite sidelines. Being a quarterback at Auburn, Alabama, is difficult enough to much less for any on the other side to take shots at each other. Because, when I was there, Jay Barker was there, Freddie Kitchens was there. And like I said, I had a ton of respect for those guys, know how hard they worked. They know how hard I worked. And so I think for that, the common fan, they don't realize how much respect the players have for each other.
How much more special is your relationship as a coach to a quarterback and a quarterback son, considering you came from a relationship where your dad was a coach and you were a quarterback for your dad and that type of just the whole full circle of that relationship, Patrick?
It's definitely full circle. I remember, I think that both Bo and I, when we were really in that 10th grade range, you just think you know more than you do. And I remember, you know, going through some of that with Bo, and I can look back and remember myself being the exact same way. And thinking back and sort of calling my dad and saying, you know, sorry, you know, I acted like that, you know, because you realize then later on that, yeah, I was just like that. I thought I knew everything and really didn't. But it's a very special relationship, you know, and I've got a younger one coming up that's going to be a 10th grader, and have learned a lot from coaching Bo to work with Caleb, my younger one. And
now, hey, is he committed to Auburn? Patrick, is he committed to Auburn? Well, we can go ahead and you can break that news now.
No, we're not quite there yet. But this is a special relationship. And then, you know, my first couple years, those first couple years of playing quarterback, is 9th, 10th grade, my dad was our defensive coordinator. So at Scottsboro, and so he had, you know, grandfather, father, and, you know, and him all out there. So it was definitely a lot of dynamics out there. And Bo and I, you know, we still talk multiple times a day and have a very close relationship. And a lot of that's because I was able to coach him and, you know, sort of know what he's come, where he's come from, what he's, you know, what he's done, all those kind of things. So definitely special, Bo, and definitely came full circle on me. I sort of got the same thing that my dad got when he was coaching me.
You're listening to Patrick Nix, who will be speaking along with Greg McElroy at Red Bank Baptist Church's A Night of Champions. That will be 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from tonight, Friday, July 26th. You're listening to Patrick right now here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Patrick, when you were at Auburn, of course, there was a coaching change not long after you got there, from Pat Dye to Terry Bowden. How did you kind of address that angle? You know, this is the time of year where you get all the summer magazines and the hot seat list and Gus Malzahn's on some of those. How do you kind of address the potential of what could happen down the road? Because I'm sure you got to Auburn thinking Pat Dye would be your coach all 4 years.
Yeah, you don't address it. You know, it's just part of life. And there's probably two coaches, maybe three, when you throw in Oklahoma. There might be three coaches in the country that aren't on the hot seat. They can put whatever they want to in Sports Illustrated and all those things. But fact of the matter is, if you're not winning, you know, in the country, it doesn't matter who you are, you're on the hot seat. And so you can pick. I mean, it's just like I was talking about with Ohio State. I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, Coach Meyer would call Bo about once a week, and he really liked Coach Meyer, but, I mean, he didn't even make it to the seat. So, I mean, I don't think there's any coach that is secure and that's definitely going to be there your entire time or anything like that. So you really can't worry with that. I really like Coach Malzahn. Bo really likes him. Got a great relationship with him, and I totally trust him and think that he's going to do great, you know, things for Bo, not only on the field but off the field. And for me as a dad, that was a lot of it too, is I wanted to be around somebody that not always only was going to develop him on the field, but develop him into a man and continue that development that as a dad I've started. And you entrust the next guy, and he's the next guy, and I totally trust that he's going to do that. And so so for me, you know, that was very important. But you can't, you know, Coach Dye taught me when I was a freshman that you don't read papers, you don't listen to the radio, because it's either too good or too bad, and especially as a quarterback. And so, you know, we've had that's the way we've lived our life, you know, through Bo's whole life, is that we just don't, you know, you don't read it, you don't listen to it, you just go do your job and let everything else handle itself, and that's something that you know we really can't control. And so we control the things we can, things we can't control, we let God handle those, and we just continue to do what we're supposed to do. So, you know, so like I said, quite honestly, every coach in the country's on the hot seat except for maybe about three or four. You know, and bottom line, you got to win, and you know that no matter where you're going, or you may retire at the end of the year. You just never know, and so. So I think the bottom line is you go for the school and for where you think that is going to best give you the opportunity to grow in all areas of life, not just in football.
Patrick, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Go, let's go for it.
All right. When people ask your favorite moment, is it as a relief pitcher in the 93 Iron Bowl, or is it the Florida game of 94?
It's the 95 Alabama game when I got to take a knee last time I ever played them to get to beat them.
Okay, that beats them both. Gotcha.
Now, did you name Bo after Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard, or Bo Jackson?
Bo is named after his, y'all say you're sorry. His, my father-in-law, his grandfather passed away about 2 months before he was born. His name was Bob. And so Bo was named Bo after Bob for him. A lot of people think it's Bo Jackson, but it was actually after his after his grandfather, my father-in-law.
Your least favorite moment as an Auburn football player?
Oh, playing LSU.
Oh, that 12-6 game down there?
It didn't matter. We beat them. It didn't matter. They beat me up both times we played them.
All right. After
and it hurt. And it hurt really bad.
I bet it did.
Got stars on the chin to prove it. Got stitches in the junior year. Had to get stitches on the sideline during the game. And playing LSU was always very difficult. Whether no matter what, they somehow they beat me up both times.
In the infamous Nix to Sanders game, did Spurrier say anything to you after the game?
No, he did not.
How would you have fared in your playing days in a Gus Malzahn offense?
Ooh. I will say I've been okay because Gus has done a good job with taking what he has and making it work. And I was smart enough to find ways to make it work also. And I was very good at controlling the run game, and so I think I'd have done okay.
And then finally, have you always had a superstition, whether as a player or as a coach?
I guess my superstition is not being superstitious. I'm the exact opposite. I try to do things opposite just to prove that there is no superstition. So I guess that probably is my superstition of doing things opposite just to show that it has that those kind of things, which leg I put in first or which sock I put on or any of that, really has no bearing of the outcome of anything I do. And so I've went the opposite direction and try to be non-superstitious, so that might make me superstitious on that end.
Patrick Nix, he'll be speaking at Red Bank Baptist Church as a Night of Champions 2 weeks from tonight, along with former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy. Tickets can be purchased at redbankbaptist.org/events. $20 general admission, $50 VIP. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us here on Press Row, and best of luck. I know you'll be fantastic 2 weeks from tonight at Red Bank Baptist.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to seeing everybody there in War Eagle.
All righty, Patrick Nix, the former Auburn quarterback, the father of Bo Nix, the current Auburn five-star freshman. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row. 648-1051 would be your number. You're listening to ESPN 105.1, The Zone.